Blog Talk Radio.
Check one. Co-producer, one feeling of the Spirit of the Lord is all inside of me, and sometimes it just makes me move funny. Hey, good evening, podcast audience.
Hello.
Good evening, podcast. And we'd like to welcome you to our Power Hour, the Messenger Podcast. We have the privilege of hearing a message from a brother who is in connection with the Creator, and the Creator has given him instructions that he should share with us on a weekly, minutely, and daily basis about stop looking for what you already have. I'd like to take a second and just tell my host tonight, I'm getting a lot of static from his microphone. So go ahead and adjust that. But to everybody else, I want you to know we're here to spread the glorious message that you have what you are looking for. It was given to you before you were formed inside the womb. So without further ado, I'm going to present the sum and introduce to others none other than our own Messenger Rondaya.
Good evening, my brother. Good evening.
Hello.
Does that sound a little bit better now or no?
No.
You sound good.
Who said he sounds good?
I did.
Oh, no, I hear a lot of static in the background. Okay.
Oh, I don't hear the static.
Okay.
Oh, you
so
do?
There we go. So do what you do, Brother Co-Producer.
Hey, well, listen, again, while the messenger gets his audio together, again, I'm going to set the table so that he may serve a prepared meal for us. Last night, we had a very powerful, what I thought was a very powerful podcast, and it made me really look forward to what we're about to talk about tonight. It's so amazing how we can be fooled into believing that we're not a part of God's body. I don't quite understand why we buy into that nonsense so easily when it is so much more advantageous to us to have the understanding that we are godly people, and because we are godly people, when we understand our connection to the Creator, we'll understand that the things that Jesus spoke about, he tells us, and it's evident to me, that we can do greater if we lock into the understanding of we have the power and the authority to do that. Brother Messenger, how we doing? Okay, I guess it's me and you, Nurse Carmen.
Okay.
Oh,
Sister Tippy, you still here?
She's there.
Yes, sir.
She's there.
Okay. Okay. So again, as we and as I said yesterday, and I will continue to say, we don't serve a God of 1,000 years old. See, our God is ever present, and he's ever changing. He is dynamic in scope, so that he is always changing. He is a one way to me. He is another way to Nurse Carmen. He's another way to Sister Tippy. He's another way to the messenger.
All right.
I like it.
But the main thing I want you to understand is he is in our lives. Now, again,
amen.
The message that he has for Nurse Carmen and Sister Tippy might not be the message he has for me.
Right.
But I thank and I give praise that I do know him in my daily walk of life. How are we doing, Brother Messenger? Brother Messenger, are you in?
Yes, I am, my brother, but you go right ahead.
Okay, yeah. It's important that we understand that he is a part of us. And if you understand and connect to that part, I guarantee you, everything about your life will be different. Now, when I say different, doesn't mean that you're going to go from where you are to billions of dollars, because we always like to equate feeling better with money or lavish gifts. That doesn't mean that. What it means is you're going to feel a fire burning inside of you that you don't want to put out, and even if it's good to put it out. But once you understand and come into grips of how to contain that fire, you are going to be, as Brother Messenger says, we're all going to be messengers. Okay? He has that title right now. But actually, we all have that title. We just refer to the messenger, Brother Ron, as the messenger. But we're all messengers. If you understand the goodness of God, if you understand that God's Spirit keeps us daily, that makes us a messenger.
Right.
So tonight, again, we like to talk about a right now God. A right now God means I don't have to read a book about what happened hundreds of years ago. I can look in my heart and tell you stories about the God I serve, about what he's doing for me, not right now, but continue right now, five minutes ago, he constantly leads, orders my footsteps in what I say, what I do. And I got to tell you, even though I am in connection with his goodness and his grace, I haven't fully yet been engulfed in it, been immersed in it, because sometimes we all get contrary. We all walk, we know we should go left, but we're going to go right just to check it out and see what it's about. And again, because we have that, that free will, the freedom, free will, excuse me, it's okay. Because the one thing the message shares with us is, the one thing the messenger shares with us is that your beginning and your end has already been determined. And when I say already been determined, I mean your beginning, when God blew breath into your life, okay, that beginning and your ending, it doesn't matter what you do. And I can't stress this enough, and I don't want to seem cavalier with it. But it doesn't matter what you do, as you go from the beginning to the end, that whole middle section in there, it doesn't matter what you do, because at the end, you're going back to the Creator who allows you to be here in the first place. And we have to go into explanation on that, because I don't want anybody to think that because you choose a life of what we know as crime, that you're going to go through life unblemished. Now, the messenger teaches us there are universal laws at play here. When you go to the right, your consequences will be to the right. And when you go to the left, your consequences are going to be to the left as well. So what I want us to do is understand that we are godly creatures. Understand that God has not given us a spirit of anything other than love. Anything else that we have inside our spirit that is not of love, you put it there yourself. All God's creations, all God's dealings are nothing but good. But as I was saying from the beginning to the end, and I remember a story where you see on a tombstone your beginning, your date of birth, there was a dash, and then the date you expired. That dash, that's your free will dash. That's the dash that allows you to treat people right. That's the dash that allows you to treat people wrong. That's the dash that allows you to care or not care. But I promise you, the decisions you make during that dash, you're going to pay for, or you're going to be rewarded, or you're going to feel the consequences while you were in this body. When, or the dirt, the dust from the ground, the Creator will regain his spirit, and his spirit is going back to which it came, and that is with the Father. Can I get an amen?
Amen, my brother.
All right. So here we are, and I see your audio sounding pretty nice now, my brother, brother messenger. So I have prepared a table for you to feed the people on, feed the people from.
All right, my brother. I just want you to know I think the people are being fed pretty well.
Well, and again, and I appreciate that because, you know, I can regurgitate our daily conversations and have a whole podcast on what we talk about on a daily basis. Again, I constantly tell people, you get to hear the messenger once, maybe twice a week, but I live with the messenger. Okay, so my words, my thoughts, we've communicated about them, you know, communicated on them, and we constantly have studied about this. So when we talk to you about the goodness of God, it's like two people with one voice. Okay, when we, and today we had a conversation about touching and agreeing. And again, and the message shared with me, because my thought was, well, we don't need, if I have God inside of me, why do I need anybody else to do anything? And again, as a student that I constantly am with the messenger, it was explained to me, well, again, you really don't. But when you have more God, now we got like, there's a super God. we all collect up and bring our God to the party, and then it's a super party, if that makes sense. So when I said, if I've got God, do I need anybody else? Well, you don't need anybody else, but again, there's strength in numbers. And if we're all focused on the same accord, then again, we make a louder sound in the atmosphere, which brings about a better result or a quicker result. Am I saying that right,
Very true. It brings about a quicker result because there's more power. And with that more power, another example, because just as that opening song says, we are all part of the body. Okay, and because we're all part of the body, when you have more of the body working towards a goal, it can achieve it faster. So that's why there is the saying, there is strength in numbers, because when you get together and you put the arm with the hand can write quicker because you've got more parts of the body. But that hand, being as magnificent as it is, it can still write. It's just going to take longer. But when you got help with it, it can do it faster. And this is what we have to understand. We like to say that God is a part of us, but it's actually the other way around of God. We are all God. We are a part of God. And the more we get together, the stronger we can be. This is why I've always said that there is no difference in Jesus in you. The only difference that Jesus has in you is Jesus knows it and you don't. And this is why Jesus said that we could do the same thing he can do. This is why Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, it's your faith that healed you, not me. I didn't do it. You did it. Because that woman had the faith, according to the story, and that could be a story, but it's an illustration for us to see what it is that we can achieve, what it is that we can do. These are the things that Jesus tried to show his disciples, the things that they can do, but because they lacked the faith and the understanding in which he was saying, they couldn't comprehend it, and they were looking at something from a totally different perspective than what it was that Jesus was trying to tell them. Now, if you really want to get to the core of what the message was that Jesus was trying to tell people, you've got to read some of the literature that was written by some of the females of that day. Then you can better understand what it is that he was saying to us. And this is what he's trying to tell us, that we are all part of the body. And you said one thing about sometimes you be hard-headed. You're not hard-headed. What it is that a lot of times our minds interfere with what it is that our soul is telling us. Because our soul would tell us to give that brother a dollar. And our mind is telling us, well, you only got five, so only give them 50 cents. So a lot of times we allow our mind to control our body instead of the soul. The soul is speaking to us, but what we do is we allow the mind to override what it is that the soul is saying. And when you don't allow the mind to override and you listen to the soul, the experience that Sister T told us about is what we will feel on a more continuous basis. It won't be a miracle once every 3 weeks. It'll be something every day. But, of course, we're not going to do that, follow the soul every day. And that's okay because you have that freedom. And God's not mad at you. You could not listen to your soul and cut off your hand. God, that ain't going to change how God feels about you. It's just going to change how you hold and write things. But it has no bearing on God. When we say that God has unconditional love, we've got to understand what unconditional means. When we say that God is agape love, we've got to understand what agape truly is. And we got to stop looking at it from our human perspective or the way that our mind has registered this and understand that God is not like us. His ways are not like our ways. Whereas we'll give you 2-3 chances, but on that fourth time, it's time out. Not with God, because he has no choice but to love himself. And that is who we are. We are part of God's body. God's not a part of our body. We're a part of his body. And if you want to better understand, just kind of visualize in your mind, think about what they call the Big Bang Theory. And if we think about the Big Bang Theory, how just particles went everywhere, that particle that went everywhere was God. And this is why every living thing is God. And so we've got to understand just who we are. And start walking in that. And you can walk in it. It would be blissful if we could do it, walk in the spirit 24/7. But being here, it's really hard to do that. It's hard because we make it hard, but it is not really hard, but we just make it hard because there are other things that we want to do that is contrary to what the spirit wants to do. But there goes that free will again, and you have that will to do it. If that's what you think is going to make, if you know better than the soul knows what is going to make you the better person, then you're going to override what the soul tells you. Even though it's wrong, because, and I say wrong in the sense that it's not what is truly best for you. It's what you think using your brain or using your mind to conceive. But what we don't understand is our mind already has preceived notions of what everything is. And because it already has that, anything that the soul tells the mind wants to run it through its database of recollection instead of trusting the soul that knows in everything. If I say to anybody right now, let's go to Madison Square Garden, automatically the mind starts focusing and thinking about what on those trips that you've already been to Madison Square Garden. The mind already can kind of visualize going through the Lincoln Tunnel. These type of things the mind is already starting to do, not realizing because we're using our mind and just the experience that we have here on this earth. Instead of using the soul that has the experience of not only this earth, but the entire universe. So once again, what we're doing is we're limiting ourselves because we're using the data that we are getting from the mind instead of from the soul. Just to be a little hood, the soul is the shit. That's what we need to be concentrating on, but we concentrate more on the mind. And I said that just to kind of throw you out for a while, because we've got to understand that all of this different language that people have decided are bad and stuff, it's just their choice to make it that. A word, how can a word be bad? Some of the things you might do according to our model of the world could be bad, but how can a word really be bad? A word is just a word. It's the action that determines whether it meets a certain criteria of what we call good and evil. So for us to be walking around here, oh, we shouldn't say that word. There's a time and place for everything, but the worst word that you could think of is nothing to God. And if it was offensive or anything to that nature to God, that word would be no more. And that's the same way it is with us. Something that is offensive to us, we have the ability to just lock it out. Sometimes we want to hold on to it, but we can lock it out and think of it no more. We are magnificent creation of God. But we've allowed ourselves to be pulled into a belief that we are nothing, when we are the greatest. And a simple word is greatest, they've got some limitations on that, because then all of a sudden they think you're trying to think you're more than what you are. And I am the very best. I don't act it at times, but I am, because I am a part of God. And I say I, but it's all of us. And we just got to begin to walk in that knowledge of just who we are, just how great we are, what we can achieve, and what it is that we don't even really need. Because we all know there's been a lot of things that we went chasing after and we got, and it really wasn't worth it. Get no amen on that one.
Amen.
All right.
Oh, you get an amen, brother. You definitely get an amen.
But we gotta understand. We gotta. And the beautiful thing about this podcast and listening and talking to each and every one of you is you're beginning to see it and feel it. So then you can truly stand up and say, yeah, the messenger said it, but let me tell you what I felt. Let me tell you how I seen God in action.
Amen.
And if we really stop and think about this religion thing that we followed it for a long time, but we haven't really, really had that personal connection with God. We're just going off of what other people told us. But now that you can see God for who God really is, now you can understand that I had that experience and I didn't have all the other buffoonery that they included in it. When you and your homeboy, your homegirl get together and devise a plan and they work out, you don't need all that other stuff. And that's just what it's like. Your homeboy, your homegirl, that is the God in you. So you're never alone. Even when you might think you are, you're never alone. Think about some of the feats that you have been able to achieve when you thought you were alone and you couldn't do it.
Amen.
And you made up your mind you're going to give it a try. And I'm speaking from experience right now, because over the last couple of days, what may seem simple or silly to some people, to me, I see God at work.
Yeah.
I see how when you make up your mind and you're determined to do what it is that you say you're going to do, you can do it.
That's right.
So when the brother wrote on the pad, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me, he wasn't lying. But even when he says that, we devalue just what it is that he's telling us, even though we have been able to do the exact same thing. The mother that was able to lift the car up to get her child from underneath that. She went to lift that car up. She didn't think for the moment that she couldn't. I'm getting this car up off of my child and lifting it up. the woman or the man or anyone that didn't know what they was going to be able to fix to eat for their children the next day or that night, and went in there and got two articles of anything and mixed it together and had a feast. These are God activities at work in us, but we don't realize it. And then once we do it, then we start looking to the hills when most of us live in the city and there are no hills, but we look into the hills. And as I was stating earlier, some of these feats that we did them all by ourselves. And if you look around, there was nobody, just you. Instead of us realizing it was us and the God in us, we start thinking that God sent some special, God just so happened to look at his monitor and saw me in need, and he sent some angels to help me. But it was him within you that did it. Now, the angels might have showed up and gave you a little support, but it was him that was within you. This is why when it says God knows your thoughts before you do. How is that possible? Because he is you. But we think, no, wait, I got to get over to the church and I got to get down on my knees and I got to pray to him. When you're already talking to him, that is what prayer is, a conversation with God. But they got us believing we got to go to church. We got to get on our knees. We got to face. God is everywhere, but I got to face to the east to talk to him. Otherwise, he ain't going to hear me. I've got to say certain rituals before he'll hear me. And I'm asking him for something that technically I already have. Asking them for money all the time. But my bills are paid, but I'm asking them for money all the time.
Because we've never learned what it is to be content. We've always been, as drummed into us since birth, that we always need more. We're never going to reach that point where even the billionaires, you can have $100 billion, you still making investments for more. So, again, from birth, we've always been taught that you never thinking whether it's $5 or $5 million, if five satisfies your life, then you have enough.
Then technically you are a millionaire, right?
If I've got what I need, maybe I don't need a G4 or G5. Maybe I just need a bus pass. And if I have that, then I've got enough for my life. Because me creating the best life for me is not the exact same as you creating the best life for you.
That's right.
And again, we have to always take that or keep that in the forefront of our brain that I'm okay. Look around. I don't have millions of dollars to give away, but I'm okay. I got use of my body. My mind is at ease. Again, what I really want. I want what I've been instructed or been taught that I need to have, not what my body tells me I need to have, because for all things, I'm not trying to go on any, but when we talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, once I have met the self-accusation need or the need for food and shelter, I'm fine. All your other needs that are on top of that, that will come after that, that's extra.
Well, I'll take it a step further. Sister T wanted to say something?
Well, it's not extra. It's part of development.
Okay.
I didn't hear what she said. I'm sorry.
She said it's not extra. It's part of development.
Yeah, you gotta go through those levels to get to realization, self-awareness, you know, critical thinking skills. I mean, it, working through Maslow, it's not just food, water. You know, you learn to love and give, accept love and real, and accept love and give love, make decisions and critical thinking. There's all kinds of things. They're not just there, and you don't choose not to do it. It's part of you.
Don't choose.
Okay.
If you don't choose not to do it, then why do you do it?
Well, I thought he was saying that you can choose not to further your development using math.
Well, no, what I did was I had the needs reversed. Self-accusation is the top of the ladder, culminating in self-accusation. But what I mean, when you have the basic necessities of food and shelter, there are millions of people all over the world who never go past that. It's not really needed to go past that, is what I was saying.
Okay.
And another thing we have to understand, too, the things that we call needs, they're not really needs, they're wants. Like, I want $1 million. I don't need $1 million. I just want $1 million. But your needs are being provided. Even the homeless person, the person that we call homeless, their needs are being met. Because there's a lot of, for lack of the proper, well, there are a lot of homeless people that look like they've never missed a meal.
Mm-hmm.
There are some homeless people. I've seen homeless people in the middle of winter with 5 coats on. Now we see it as, well, you don't have a home, but technically, Jesus didn't have a home. So I say that to us because of our values of what we have established as what it needs to be to make it. But there's some homeless people that I've seen that have been homeless for the last 10 years, and they don't look per se. They look to some now, if you understand what I'm saying, in better condition than some people that got homes and cars to go with them. How we look at things. And part of it is because they don't have what we have, we look down on them as if they aren't blessed, or they are missing something, or they're cursed to something. And as I had this conversation with Nurse Carmen, and this is one of the things that we have a tendency to do when we look at people that we call handicapped. We feel sorry for them, but when you look at them, they don't look like they're feeling sorry. They don't act like they got a problem. They try to figure out what's wrong with you. You looking at them trying to figure out what's wrong with them, and they looking at what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important, as the co-producer was speaking on earlier, it's important for us to work on us, on self. And when we can get self in the most secure, happy place that it can be, then we can be a help to others. When we're constantly judging people for this and that, and people like to make up all kind of different words as to what they call it, but it's judging.
Because
you ain't got this and I got this. I've done something greater or better than you. Well, I don't really need that what you have.
Right.
As the brother was saying, this bus pass is getting me right where I need to go. At half the expense. More time, but half the expense. So which one is it that really got the upper hand? So for us to constantly try and pit ourselves against each other, and if the bus passes so bad, you got the car, stop by and pick them up then. You know what I mean? Help, help. We are our brother's keepers.
That's
we
right.
are all one.
But all too often we really lose that message because sometimes when you are being a help to people who we decide aren't really trying to help themselves, we forget that by me helping that person, even if that person don't apply himself to help himself, him or herself, excuse me, if I'm good about helping you, it doesn't matter what you do.
Right.
It really doesn't. Now, again, this is where we have folks in your ear, oh, they're using you. You shouldn't do that for that person. But let me tell you, and again, I go back to example we always use. That person at panhandling on the street, you know, hey, you got a dollar, you got some spare change, you got some spare change. Well, listen, we already know, and let's just say 95% of what we're going to give that person, we got a good idea where it's going. But let me tell you something. If when I always give money because I did that every day as a child. Well, not as a child, as a teenager. And again, none of my purposes were ever I was starving. I was thirsty. I needed a special drink that I couldn't afford or I wasn't old enough to buy, but I wasn't starving. So when I give money out of the fact of I used to hustle like that. So honestly, what you do with that money, I don't even give a dang about. I don't, because I felt good giving it to you. So what you? I can't give you something and tell you how to use it. If I'm blessed enough to have spare change, for lack of a better phrase, and I give that to you, then I don't care what you do with it, because my job as a human being making my best life is satisfied. Because I helped somebody who was less fortunate than I.
That's right.
And we have to always stay in communication with that. I'm going to do the best I can do for you and to you. And what you do with that, that's between you and the Creator. Because when I do what I got to do, I feel His love inside of me saying, I'm happy that you did that. This is what I believe now. You know, this is just my perspective. And if I give you $1,000 and you go give it to, you know, excuse me one second. I remember there was a thing on Facebook about a homeless person out panhandling. And they went together, lady went on Facebook and got money donated to this gentleman and ended up giving him a lot of money. And what did he do with it? He turned around and gave it to somebody else. Now tell me, isn't that what life is all about?
Yes, it is. Amen. All right, man. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I gave to you for as part of me creating my best life. What you did with it, you turned around and donated most of that money to somebody else. Now, tell me, as person donated to you, shouldn't that make me do my little Holy Ghost dance?
Yep.
Amen.
That's the 360 circle, everybody helping everybody. And it don't happen often, but when it does, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's also letting you know, as we were just speaking on before, we looked at, quote-unquote, that homeless person as being in such worse shape and stuff of that nature. And for that person to be able to donate that money, that tells me that whatever the life that he was living wasn't the worst life.
Right.
Because that was his opportunity to, quote-unquote, pull himself up. But instead, because it wasn't as bad as we might have thought it was, he was able to help somebody else. And that's where it's got to be. Sister T, her experience, it shows that it doesn't take $1 million. She let us know it was $41. $41,
right.
Which to us on most occasions really isn't nothing.
Right.
Right.
But that feeling that she got, that spirit within her that was pretty much saying, just as the story goes, that when Jesus came up out of the water, God said, "My beloved son, who I am well pleased with," that is what your spirit was saying to you at that time. "My beloved daughter, I am well pleased." And as the co-producer was saying, it is about your heart.
That's right.
And a lot of times, mm-hmm. the reason we don't deal with Sister T is because when we do it, we're doing it with another motive in mind.
Mm-hmm.
We think we slick. We ain't naming it, but we're doing it with another motive in behind. Sister T did that out of pure love. It was
exactly.
something in the voice that just moved her, and it was just pure mm-hmm. love. And she didn't do it hoping the next time that they come back to that restaurant that the people was going to treat her. Co-producer, when he gave that money, he didn't give it thinking, okay, whatever you buy, whatever you want, come and share it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I got to tell you, sometimes when I see these people, they don't even ask me, and I give it to them, and they're surprised. Because
right.
sometimes they look at me as if to say, "Oh, he ain't giving me nothing." And it just so happened, and I say that because last night I stopped at the store for my mother and picked her up something from one of the fast food stores, and a guy was standing outside there, and he seen me. And I don't know if it was embarrassment or shame or whatever, but he kind of turned his head away from me when I was about to pull off. And I stopped, and he was, thank you so much,
Amen.
My brother, thank you so
Amen.
Much. But we've got to stop having the ulterior motives and understand when you help me, you're helping yourself.
That's right.
All of that creating the better you, you're helping yourself. So if you're using, once again, that mind, because that mind could be a terrible thing, but using that mind, when we say help yourself, you're thinking, oh, they want us to be selfish. No, but when you help yourself, you are helping others. Because Sister T, I'm quite sure to get that feeling that she got that day, she'd be willing to buy some other people some lunch.
Yes,
to have that feeling, knowing that you and God are hitting it on all cylinders at that precise moment. So this is where we have to get, and not only get, but we've got to work to stay there. As the sister said earlier, it is a process for us because of all that we have been through. Well, we make it a process, but it's every day creating the best you. And I guarantee you, when you create the best you, you have no choice but to help somebody else, because technically that somebody else is you as well. It all comes back to we are one, in spite of what everybody want to tell you, in spite of the fact that you might think it's silly to think that you and Hitler are the same, but you are. But you are
better, and we are all created by the same creator.
And he loved Hitler just as much as he loved you.
Amen.
And we name Hitler, but if you think about it, Hitler had a whole country that loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had a whole country that loved him, was Hitler as bad as we think? I'm not saying that for us to get into the deep part. I'm just getting for us to understand how that according to our model of our world, we've got to understand that things are different. So we can't allow something that we don't like to try to bring condemnation on someone else. Creating the best you.
And like you always say, Brother Messenger, nothing, and I do mean nothing, is all bad or all good. Almost every situation in life, if you lay it out on a spectrum, you're never going to find it all on one end of the spectrum. It's just not going to be that way. But we have to understand, again, because it was bad for you, it was good for somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to understand, was this, even like, again, and let's talk about our current president. I've got choice words for him that I probably don't want to say, but I'll say this to you. I'm not a supporter, but there are a lot of people who love whatever it is that he's doing. I'm not one of those people. So when we lay it out on a spectrum, okay, you're never all on one side.
That's right. We're not on one side because of the fact that, once again, we are in the darkness to who it is that we really are. But one thing you've got to give him credit for, you may not want to, but what you've got to give him credit for is he's trying to make the best him that he could be. He's trying to be the best him according to his model.
Yeah, regardless of what we feel, even though I feel his best him is going to hurt thousands of people, he's still creating his best life.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. So he's not seeing the whole picture, but he's seeing part of the picture. And I guarantee you he didn't get to be where he is right now by making sure he gave 10%. And I just mean that with regards to how they got you fooled in these tithes and offerings and stuff of that nature. He's given the people, he's helped people out, but he ain't never go to church, I don't think. It's us coming to understand it's about us and not what it is that other people think of us. As we read from the Facebook page that posted yesterday, we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that it's about what pleases us. And I mean truly please us. But we let other people's determination or explanation or whatever it is determine how we do so many things, even though it's not beneficial to us. The only benefits from us is we know we didn't make somebody else mad. Now, forget the fact that I could have had the best time of my life, but I didn't make somebody else mad, so I didn't have the best time of my life. We've got to start living for ourselves to make ourselves the best that we can. And when we do this, not only will we make ourselves better, but we'll make other people better. Then we start the ball moving, whereas we spoke about earlier that all of this power starts to come together. As the brother clarified also, don't get it twisted. You can do it by yourself, because greater is it that is within you than anything out here. So you can get it done. It's just how strong a belief you have. And we say beliefs, but we really got to work to get to the point that not only do we believe this, but we know this. And when we know this, then you will see things happening before your very eyes. Just as when Jesus spoke it, it was, that's the same way it will be with us when we know this. Because remember, that's the difference between Jesus and us, is Jesus knew and we don't. We believe, but we don't know. We believe in that it's going to happen, but we don't know. But when you know it's going to happen, when you know it's going to happen, technically, nobody can tell you otherwise.
Right.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. I hear you.
Uh-huh.
And that's a powerful state. I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead, Brother Messenger.
I was gonna say that. So one of the things, I know you realize it, but it's power in what you said regarding the presidency. Because honestly to me, you sound like you know this. You sound like
that's
you know this.
So now.
Yeah. But you know what? Once you come into the knowledge of understanding, again, it sometimes the power in knowing is so powerful that sometimes you have to remind yourself or convince yourself that it actually is.
Yes.
You have, because that's a lot.
Well, one of the things that I tell Nurse Carmen all the time, and I've told you this too, my brother, there is nothing, I'm going to say it again,
that we don't know.
That you don't
just
know.
Got to remember.
That's right.
You just got to remember. You
was
right on the money. Yeah, you just got to remember it. And then you say, well, how is that? Then if you have to say, how is that? Then you don't know who you are. You don't know whose you are. Because if you think about it, the God that is in you, as they say in the movie Scarface, he put this together.
Amen.
And he put this together means you put this together.
That's right.
You just got to remember what it is that you did back in 1742. And as funny as it may sound, but honestly, I'm telling you, as Brother Stevie Wonder said, have that talk with God. And I guarantee you, something from 1742 will come to your remembrance. It has no choice but to.
Okay.
You know, Brother Messenger,
who you are. Yes.
It's so funny. I was looking on Facebook today, and I seen a story. I can't remember the players in the story, but there was a man whose daughter died. Don't remember how, not important right now, but he donated her heart to a recipient in the South somewhere. And he got on his bike. You know, he's doing a crusade for his daughter. And he met this gentleman. And the guy took out a pair of stethoscopes, and he let this gentleman listen to his daughter's heartbeat in his body.
Wow.
And that just brings me to when you say we're all one. I mean, what better example? And it's interesting to see that, but it goes to show us that we are all connected. A real far out example, a great example nonetheless. Yeah, and that's what I said when I looked at that.
Yes.
To watch that man put that stethoscope on his ear, listen to his daughter's heartbeat, you could tell from his emotion that even though he was looking at that man, he was hearing his daughter.
Wow.
It's a fact, whether we want to believe it or not, it is what it is.
Amen.
Well, again, that's our signal that our podcast has come to its full hour. Listen to my mother's beautiful voice in the background.
Amen.
Hey, but I hope and trust that everybody got something out of our podcast tonight. And I also hope and trust that one day soon, Brother Messenger will be able to say, because all night it's been Sister T. Tippy just ain't coming out yet, huh, Brother Messenger?
Say that again?
You saying Sister Tippy just ain't coming out yet, is it?
Not yet. No, not yet.
All right. Well, we working on him, Sister Tippy.
But I got the tea.
You got the tea. You almost there. Mm-hmm. Hey, but listen, I'm going to say goodnight, and the whole podcast crew, let's say goodnight. And I do apologize for the breaking up of my audio. I'm not at home in the studio. I'm on a military mission right now. So please bear with me for the next week or so, and I'll be back in the studio, and we'll have it crisp and clear again. With that being said, hey, good night, everybody, and good night, world. I will talk to you next Saturday night.
Love you.
Good night.
Love you all.
Love you too, brother.
Love you all, and nothing any of you can do about it.
Nothing.
Amen.
Sister Tippy, you still with us?
How's it going?
Okay. No, she's still here. She's doing something else. All right, hey, good night, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night.